It is the FTN Fast Break Episode 2. Welcome in, everybody. Zach Graham, a.k.a. Kawisenberg DFS, alongside my good buddy Mike Randall at Randall Rant, here to talk some Olympic basketball. Mike, the tournament tips off about 12 hours from when we are recording this right now. I'm pumped up to dive into this a little bit deeper. How you feeling? I mean, we've had about a four-day break from Summer League to the Olympic tournament.
Yeah, it was great. Great ending to Summer League, and excited about the Olympics because we've now seen balance. And yes, the USA is favored, as they should be. But we saw with South Sudan, things can get a little frisky, and there's just a ton of NBA talent on other rosters as well, some that we're both interested in. So really excited. Olympic basketball, it's great. And I think, Zach, also, that some of these players, which is what is great about having the Olympics, are actually going to play themselves potentially into larger roles during the NBA season. So these are relevant games, not just for the country, not just for the Olympics, but a lot of the individual players as well as we scout for the NBA season next year.
Yeah, I think that's a great shout, Mike. And this is the Fast Break, so we will jump right into our group-by-group breakdowns here. And you kind of mentioned, right, the number of NBA players now. Of course, every time we get to the Olympics since the 90s, right, we're always comparing to that 92 Dream Team. One stat that has stuck out to me this week, kind of in the general zeitgeist around this year's tournament, Mike, is that back in 92, there were a total of 9 opposing players in the entire field that were NBA players or had NBA experience, obviously setting aside the United States roster. 65 in this year's edition. So the, you know, when people like to say the world has caught up, right? I don't know if I'm quite there yet, but there's zero doubt in my mind that this is the most talented international basketball field that we have ever seen. And you get right to it with Group A.
Yeah, this is, we have one advantage here, Zach, of my age, and that's that I was totally locked into that 92 team. The difference, and we will talk about it, is they were just physically dominating. Barkley, Jordan, all those guys, you could not stop them. There was no counter punch. There was no chance of slowing them down. The game has obviously evolved. The number of NBA players, we've seen it already. They ran roughshod that 92 Dream Team. It was incredible to watch. That doesn't happen anymore. And now it's strategic, and now it's chemistry, and now it's lineups, and now it's cohesion. So there's a lot of interesting things to get to. Let's get into it.
Yeah, man. You know, you mentioned that 92 team and the famous Charles Barkley quote. I don't know anything about Angola, but Angola is in trouble. Yeah. We're not saying that about the African representative here, South Sudan, especially after last week. We'll talk about South Sudan here in a little bit. Group A. For a group that does not have the United States in it, I think this is the toughest, again, international group of four that we have ever seen. Australia, Greece, Canada, Spain. I want to start with the Aussies here because obviously they have been a contender, right? Really for the last 15, 20 years in the international game. And some of their bigger names, right? Patty Mills, Joe Ingles, still with this team, but obviously aging out a little bit. They are certainly the elder statesmen here, but you've got names like Josh Giddey, Josh Green, Dyson Daniels, Jock Landale, Duop Reith, right? And not all-star level NBA guys, but you mentioned some of the cohesion that you see from these other countries that these guys have been playing in and around together, right? For 5, 10, 15 years. And that can be the advantage for some of these quote unquote lesser teams talent-wise when they go up against some of the giants like Canada or the United States. So talk to me a little bit about Australia.
Australia is going to be overlooked in this group because you're going to look at Canada and Giannis brings attention to Greece. Spain, of course, has the history. Australia is very good. The key to me is going to be you have players who are changing teams in the NBA. So I think they're almost going to be motivated, Zach, to do a little bit more here in the Olympics and show off for their new team. You have Dyson Daniels going to Atlanta, Josh Giddey in Chicago, Josh Green with Charlotte. Dante Exum is going to miss his first game with Spain. That could be a bit of an issue because they could use him as well. Certainly played well in the playoffs. I think the key here is Giddey. Giddey is going to be the main facilitator, as I think he will be with the Bulls. He is not a prolific scorer. His game is to create, set up teammates, draw attention, and that's what this team needs. There's not a ton of individual creation on this team, but Giddey, Green, Ingles, Patty Mills, Dyson Daniels. Those are guys who can score. Jock Landale, Reith inside. These are players who can score, shoot, rebound. They need someone to set them up. I look for Giddey to have a really good Olympics, and I also look for Dyson Daniels to really be ready to take the next step and sort of become a leader and an elite scorer on this team. If that happens, Australia is going to be a really tough out.
Yeah, and I'm with you there, and I think this Australia roster is almost the opposite of a team like Greece in this group, right? You mentioned Giannis Antetokounmpo. Australia just does not really have that star, right, that go-to guy, and I think I agree with you. Josh Giddey is going to kind of be thrust into that significant role, whether or not he and the, you know, a lot of depth here on this Australian roster. Greece, not so much. Of course, you've got Giannis, right? He is, I think, without question for me, SGA is the 1B. Giannis is the best player for me in this group still, but then he's surrounded by guys, right, like Nick Calathes, right? Maybe even a Thomas Walkup, right? A Stephen F. Austin guy down here in Texas with me.
Very good.
These are some of the names that probably you'll recognize, but then other guys that have had a cup of coffee in the league, right? Yorgos Papagiannis, right, with the Kings, right? Former Kings draft pick, Kostas Papanikolaou. There's a couple other guys, but you just – right, you get past Giannis and the name value starts to deteriorate a little bit compared to a team like Australia. And if you look at the odds on DK Sportsbook right now, these two teams neck and neck for a second place finish in the group. And again, all of these Group A games are going to be the must watch type of atmospheres for me. I'm up at 4 a.m. Central tomorrow on Saturday, awesome. Mike, ready awesome. To watch Australia and Spain.
Yeah, and listen, I think there's a disconnect in the market. Giannis, great. I don't see Greece being as tough as the market thinks they are here. Canada is absolutely loaded. They're built like an NBA team. I have to tell you, Zach, if I had to make a bet right now, it would be on Canada to get the gold medal. I'm that certain that Canada is going to be that good. They have SGA, great second scorer in Jamal Murray. Olenek is the traditional Euro big who can step out, make some shots. I love that team. Spain, of course, not at the normal level that they're at. The question is, can Santi Aldama take the next step and be a scorer? But they are always going to be a tough out. They're always well-coached. They always play well. They're super efficient. So Greece, I think, is going to get support in the betting market, and I will be looking to fade them. Not that I don't love Giannis. I do. But right. This is the group of death. Australia, legit. Canada, completely loaded. Spain, always tough. Kudos, man. I'm glad you're getting up. I think it's going to be a tremendous battle here. I can't wait for these games to start.
Yeah, and I think – you know, before we move on to Group B, I think for me, I think the field is strong enough globally where we can expand this Olympic tournament to four groups. I think 16 teams, like we don't have a Luka Doncic-led Slovenian team in this field, right? And there's a number of others, but Canada, I don't want to gloss over there, right? SGA, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, RJ Barrett, Dylan Brooks, Lou Dort, Jamal Murray. Like, you've got multiple NBA All-Stars, you know, all NBA caliber players here that some of those other, you know, more role guys, right? You're going to see a lot of Andrew Nembhard, I think, for his defensive qualities. Kelly O, Dwight Powell, even Kem Birch, right? No longer in the league, but had more than a cup of coffee in the association. And you mentioned Spain. Like, that's where I wanted to end, because Santi Aldama, right? After that, obviously, you've got Rudy Fernandez, right? And he's probably on his – this is probably his last international tournament. Alex Abrines, Usman Garuba, and the Hernan Gomez brothers. This is just such a downgrade from the Spain that we have known over the last two decades. When you go from the Gasol brothers to the Hernan Gomez brothers, and I love Willie, I love Juancho, right? Bo Cruz, as many people know him. I don't think they have enough to get out of the group, and the odds would say the same. I don't know, like plus 800. I think they're a little bit closer to me, for me, to a team like Australia, maybe even to Greece, but it's just, I mean, it might be another four-year cycle until we see Spain kind of get back on track to being a medal contender, because I just do not see it.
Yes, but I think that they can be live enough in these games to keep it close, because everyone's going to underrate them because of their history, because of what they've done in the Olympics and international competition. But yes, this is not the group for them. They want to be in another group. Canada, Australia lead the way for me. I think there's a big difference with Greece, who I'm down on here. But both Australia, Canada, phenomenal teams. great Group A, tough Group A. When we're talking about Spain struggling, that's how much, you know, the group is really solid.
Mm-hmm. In Group B, right, maybe Spain, their fortunes would be a little bit different if they were able to be drawn into this group. You've got France and Germany up top, then Japan and Brazil rounding out Group B. So starting with the French, right, you've got the Twin Towers here. We're going to see Wemby and Gobert in action next to each other. Nick Batum, of course, still on this team. Bilal Coulibaly, Evan Fournier. Then some other guys, ex-NBAers, right? Your Frank Ntilikina. So Frankie Smokes will be out there. Nando DiColo, former Spur. Poor Nando getting traded to the Raptors for Austin Day right before that 2014 championship. Mm-hmm. And that was it for him. He went back across the pond. But I think the first question is, how does the Wimby-Gobert tandem work? And do they have enough in this backcourt to support? Obviously, I think we both agree they're going to get out of the group, whether they're first or second. But can they make their way through the knockout rounds? I'm not sure. And I think that says a lot coming from the biggest, most biased Victor Wembanyama fan that you know.
If South Sudan can almost beat the USA by bombing threes and disrupting the USA at the rim and on defense with their length, then France can do the same thing. They're the host team, the host country, going to have tremendous support. Wemby and Gobert, elite defensively. Coulibaly, sort of the X factor, I think. You know what you're going to get from Nick Batum. He's going to bang those threes. He's going to have the same role basically as in the NBA, except he's going to be really facilitating and getting some opportunities in the corner, being a little bit more of a scorer here in international play. The answer I have is yes. They have to shoot threes. The question is the offense, but they have, Zach, a unique skill. They remind me of a team like the Pistons in the 80s who beat you up with defense. You want to go to college, Virginia, who's going to slow it down and wants to embrace the variance. France gets hot. They make some threes. They absolutely, I think, are moving on and will be very, very dangerous because of the length, because of Wemby and Gobert, because of they have something that really no other team has to this level. And Wemby, of course, can take the game over and really raise himself to even higher level he's already at. I think France is super dangerous. Love the uniqueness of this build with their defense and rim protection.
Germany being in this group, right, the defending FIBA World Cup champions, and they've got the Wagner brothers, they've got Dennis Schroeder, they've got Daniel Theis, Isak Bonga, right, another guy with multiple years of NBA experience, and certainly a team that, you know, they've got some guys around the fringes that, again, you may not have heard of a Johannes Voigtman, but I can guarantee you if you're watching these games, you're going to know his name by the end of this group stage. They've got the right, the longevity, right? Some of that connectivity we were talking about, that these guys have played together for over a decade coming up in this German national team system. But they don't have a Victor Wembanyama. They do not have a Rudy Gobert on this team. So I did not think that the gap in the odds was going to be as wide as it is, minus 225 for France, plus 175 for the Germans. I'm not shocked if the Germans make it out of this group as the top team if they're able to beat France in their group stage game. But that is certainly the game in Group B to be tuned in for.
Just based on the experience, Wagner brothers were great. Schroeder is tremendous. 92-88, lost only by four because LeBron took the game over in the fourth quarter. Yes, it's an exhibition. Daniel Theis, I think, can be a huge factor here. He's in line to get significant minutes with the Pelicans now with the opening at center. No Valanciunas, of course. So, yes, it's Germany and France. Would not be surprised to see Germany beat France, and they're not going to have any fear of the USA. They have experience. They've had success. You mentioned the FIBA. I'm taking Germany and France to move on, and would not be surprised, like you said, to see the Wagner brothers, Schroeder, Theis, and the group advance and actually win this Group B.
Japan and Brazil obviously rounding out the group, and you've, again, with every team in this field, you've got some names that are going to be familiar. Rui Hachimura, Yuta Watanabe for the Japanese side, right? And then if you've been an international basketball junkie, you'll see Josh Hawkinson there, Yuki Kawamura, guys like that. We're getting a little bit we're getting pretty deep with names like that. Brazil, Gui Santos, right? Cristiano Felicio, the former Bulls center, Bruno Caboclo, who maybe it's time for him now that he was 2 years away from being 2 years away when he was drafted by the Raptors. Marcelo Huertas, Raul Neto, right? So they've got some names. Some of these guys getting a little bit older or at least past their NBA playing days. Brazil favored to be the third place team in this group. I think that is a very safe bet here because the Japanese team, once you get past Rui and Yuta, just not up to par. I think probably the Japanese and the South Sudan, the two weakest teams in this field. But again, you see the names on these rosters. You know, maybe back in 1992, the Japanese might have been threatening for a medal with this roster.
Yeah, 100%. Japan, Brazil, notch below everyone else. Rui's going to have to step forward and really take the Gonzaga role where he's going to be the leading scorer, facilitator, transitioning from the Lakers where he was a bench guy to coming here now and dominating. I don't think he has the talent to do that against teams in this group like France and Germany. Brazil, fine, always going to be feisty, but again, not the level that I think we need them at here. So to me, this one is a lot clearer than Group A, France and Germany. Love to see Rui, love to see the players on Brazil as well. But to me, these two are moving forward. I think it's pretty clear.
Yeah, watching out for Yuta Watanabe, calf injury coming into the tournament, questionable for tomorrow's opener, and they certainly need Watanabe out there to have any shot here in Group B. We'll close it out with Group C, and of course, we haven't gotten to the U.S. yet, so this is where the United States lies, alongside the Serbians, South Sudan, and Puerto Rico. So some very interesting storylines with those last two, so I actually want to start there. We talked about South Sudan, right? A Carleek Jones shot away from defeating the United States in that scrimmage last week. Guys like JT Thor, Wenyen Gabriel, Mariel Shayok, right, who had a cup of coffee with the Sixers. Carleek Jones, who I mentioned, was with the Mavs summer league team a few seasons ago. Ultimately, I think this is just going to end up being the feel-good story of the tournament, but I do want to later talk a little bit more about the background of the South Sudanese, who this country is younger than Bronny James, right? Just 13 years that they've been playing, recognized as their own nation. So Puerto Rico has not, I think, maybe their first Olympic qualification here, certainly in a long time behind Jose Alvarado. That was one of the most fun games in the qualifiers in early July to watch Jose Alvarado and some of these other more like summer league, G League guys, a Tremont Waters, a Devon Reed, you know, get qualified for Paris on their home soil. That atmosphere was electric. And, you know, I think Jose is going to bring some of that juice to this Group C. I just don't know if they can get over the giants in front of them in Serbia and the USA.
Yeah, I don't know if they can, but 32 years I've been watching this Olympic basketball since the Dream Team. The idea that that was just, was a lucky game for South Sudan. They could never do that again. I think they're going to be tougher than people realize. There's no reason that the three-point shooting can't continue. I don't think it's lightning in the bottle. Do I expect them to advance? No, I don't. But I don't think they're a pushover. And I think it also shows you how close this will be, this Olympic tournament. I don't expect the USA to roll. We'll get into them in a little bit. South Sudan, I would be very careful dismissing them as that was just a lucky game. They certainly are dependent on the three. But with JT Thor, Wenyen Gabriel, Shayok, Carleek, they have length. They disrupt on defense. And if they play together and they continue to be strong with Luol Deng, I think this team can absolutely be competitive, and I don't think that was a lucky game against the USA. I think if you're going to beat them, it's going to be a tough, tough battle because they found a way to be successful, and I think we tend to get too dismissive of teams. Look at the level of players. Look at the length. Like I said, mini France, they can stay competitive here in Group C.
Yeah, I think that South Sudan-Puerto Rico game is going to be one that, again, maybe at that point not playing for much, but I think that one's going to be highly competitive because it could be the only opportunity for those two teams to get a win here in Group C. Let's talk about the Serbians. Of course, Nikola Jokic leading this team. He's also got guys like Bogdan Bogdanovic, Nikola Jovic, right, who was injured, but now I think expected to be a full go here. My guy Poku, Alexei Pokuševski on this roster. Vasile Micic, who got traded midseason, of course, from the Thunder to the Hornets, Filip Petrušev, who again has been on and off, I believe, that Philadelphia 76ers summer league and preseason roster. So this is a team to be reckoned with. And even though the United States pretty handily defeated Serbia in one of those pre-tournament scrimmages, I think when the lights are on and this game is counting in Group C, I think it's going to be highly contested between these two.
Yeah, I think it is. And I like the Serbia team. Obviously, Jokic is the center of everything that goes on, but I think Jovic will be able to play well off of Jokic with shooters around him. This team is, they were crushed in the warm-up round, but I think Jovic can really shine. I think Miami wants him to shine. He was very valuable in DFS in the playoffs on a point per minute basis. No Caleb Martin with Miami anymore. So I see this is one of the players. When we started this pod, I talked about players who I think are going to use this as a springboard, a Daniel Theis, Jovic. I think these type of players can really step forward and set themselves up for a strong NBA season with a massive impact. And I think that's what's going to happen here. Serbia going to be a very, very tough out. The more they practice, the more they work together and get it down. Because, of course, you have Nikola Jokic in the middle. Anything is possible.
Yeah, and finishing it off with the United States. Again, I don't think we need much introduction to this side, right? I think clearly, in my opinion, the most talented roster we have ever put together. Again, setting age aside, to be able to put together guys like LeBron with guys like Jason Tatum, right? Just like the old guard with the new Anthony Edwards, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. Hopefully KD is all right with that lower body injury and able to give it a go here. But the United States, minus 500 to take home the gold. Next closest is Canada at 11-1. So again, I talked about it on last week's episode. The United States was my stock up. I think it was that night, Mike, when they almost got upset by South Sudan. But again, I am still maintaining that this team will just absolutely rip through this field. I think Steve Kerr and his staff, you've got Spo there, you've got Mark Few, right? I think this staff is going to be able to put the pieces together enough. Again, matchup determined, like I think we'll see against Serbia. I think you'll see Anthony Davis and Bam Adebayo double-teaming a guy like Jokic, right? They're just so deep. They're so talented. To be able to lose a guy like Kawhi Leonard, enter Derek White, right? His help side defense, along with, of course, his on-ball defense, going to be a great asset off the bench when needed, right? I think you could DNP a guy like Derek White and still be just fine. So very excited to watch not just the United States, but this entire group stage play out. And of course, we will continue to talk about both tournaments as we make our way through the Olympics. I guess I'll toss it to you. I think both of us probably, I guess I shouldn't assume. I saw you mention it. You know, you mentioned earlier, maybe a Canada pick for you, 11-1. Are you sprinkling on that?
Look, I expect the USA, Zach, to easily get out of this group. Yeah. I do. I don't think Serbia is going to be able to hang with them. Maybe a half. I understand that. The betting difference between Canada and the USA is crazy. I think it is crazy. Listen, they're wonderful. I'm rooting for them, obviously. I want to see it. I think if I had to make a bet, it would be on Canada. You cannot give me that much of a discrepancy in these odds here. I'd love to see the battle. We've just seen a short period of time that the team has to come together and play well, and there can be disadvantages. They beat Germany by 4. They should have lost to South Sudan. Everyone just assumes they're going to get it right, and maybe they will, but I think they have an easier group. I think they're going to possibly struggle when they get into the medal round a little bit. And if you made me make a pick with the odds the way they are, I will take Canada 11-1. I will.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think if we're right going away from the US and not getting really any value at that number, France for me, 12-1, because for me, 100%. My guy Wemby, and I can't talk about this Olympic tournament without getting a little bit of Wemby propaganda out there. I just think he can be the best player on the floor against almost any team. And yes, that includes the United States. Obviously, you go 2, 3, 4, 5 in the lineup next to him, then your talent floor is nowhere near the same. But we saw what he did against a lower level team like Turkey when he was on the floor. Turkey, I think, was 1 for 24 from the field, right? You're not going to be able to shut down a team like the United States, a team like Canada to that degree. But like you mentioned earlier, if he and Gobert can figure it out, they're going to be able to protect the rim. If Wimby can knock down his shots from distance and spread the floor efficiently, France, I think, also has a chance here. So again, we're not going out on too thin of a limb here. We're picking the second and third teams in the odds. But that just shows, I think, how dominant we all expect the United States to be.
I want one stat. If I could go in the future and get a stat, it's what does France shoot from three-point range in this tournament? You tell me that stat, and I will change those odds, because if it's good, those odds have to plummet. They really do, because France is live. Totally agree with you.
It's a good point. Real quick, and I think there's a little bit less entertainment factor in terms of the competition on the women's five-on-five side. Because, again, I say five-on-five. We've also got three-on-three competitions, which I will be trying to catch up on when I can. But the United States on the women's side, much more heavy favorites, just because the women's side of the game just has not caught up like the men. So, obviously, the U.S., I think the most entertaining game we will or have seen them play already took place when they got upset by the WNBA All-Stars last week. We're not bringing the WNBA All-Stars to the tournament. So a couple other teams to watch out for. I think number one, Australia for me. You've got Izzy Magbegor, Sammy Whitcomb, Beck Allen, a lot of those names that have been mainstays for the Australian women. Alana Smith, Jade Melbourne, also on, I guess I should say it right, Jade Melbourne on the Australian team. Germany's got the Savalie sisters. I hope Satu is ready to go, because not only will she be able to greatly help that German team, but then hitting the ground running with the Dallas Wings coming back in. Leonie Fibic there as well, who hit a nice game-tying shot in the scrimmages over the last couple weeks. Then the Canadians, Aaliyah Edwards, Bridget Carlton, Kia Nurse. But none of those rosters measure up anywhere close to what the U.S. women are rolling out there these couple of weeks. So I don't have much else to say about this tournament. For as much as I said the United States men are to just run through the men's side, the women even more so.
Yeah, last time women did not win the gold, ironically, 92 in Barcelona, but they've run roughshod since. We go back to 2020 in Tokyo. It was U.S., Japan, and France. Really excited to see it, Zach. Women's basketball has exploded. It's been incredible. I'm longing for the WNBA because it's on hiatus right now. It's just a great time. I hope for United States and for WNBA, they just perform super well and dominate here because, again, building momentum for the sport that we love, especially the women's sport, which has been so underappreciated for so many years. Really, it's a beautiful thing to see. So rooting hard for them here. Nervous about the men, feel confident about the women, for sure. Yes.
We'll close it out here as we always do, a little stock up, stock down for the week. So, Mike, I will kick it to you. Who was your stock up this past week?
Yeah, two things. One, Russell Westbrook, 2 years, $6.8 million with Denver. I am rooting for Russell Westbrook. He's become one of these players in all sports, you can see them, where people root against him. They love him, the triple-double, but he can't win. He can't make a shot in the fourth quarter. Now he's with Denver. Would love to see him get a ring. Hard worker, incredible player, one of the dominant players I've seen during my lifetime. And number two, I'm actually going to go stock up, which may be against your stock down.
Okay.
NBC, full story, Zach. I have one of my lifelong friends since kindergarten, works at NBC, high up executive. They are thrilled about this. They can't wait. They're getting the promos back. Jordan in the 90s, everything. I was there. I was watching it. So a little bit of a stock up for NBC. I think they're going to do a good job. I'll tie you to my stock down as well. But Russ Westbrook, man, let's get this guy a ring. He's been too great for too long.
Stock up John Tesh too, right? We're getting round ball rock back in the mix. Well, my stock up for the week is South Sudan and South Sudan basketball, because learning more about, this country, extremely young, 13 years that they have been recognized and have this program together. And stock up really Luol Deng. Because as I'm learning and reading and listening more about this program, apparently Luol Deng, not just kind of the head of the program, but a lot of the finances coming out of his own pocket. So I'm thinking back to that contract he had with the Lakers that was just much maligned, and we were all making fun of how much they're paying this guy, and he can't get on the court, and oh boy, the Lakers, they really screwed up with this. But look what it's doing now, right? Luol Deng, I think, made around $200 million in his NBA career and just putting it to fantastic use. And I don't want to let the rest of the NBA Africa initiative, Masai Ujiri, and a lot of other guys, right? We brought Pascal Siakam, Joel Embiid, guys like that from NBA Africa. So it's, to me, just like a feel-good story that is not done being written yet. So big stock up for South Sudan.
Yeah, maybe the Lakers should have hired him as the former player instead of J.J. Redick. Sorry, had to get that one in there. Fading the Lakers. Moving on.
So the stock down for me, you mentioned kind of like our opposing stock up, stock down. My stock down is Turner Sports because it does seem like this is potentially going to be dragged out in the courts. Turner thinking that they had some, or claiming that they have some sort of matching rights for the Amazon deal that the league announced, the league saying, no, that's not how this works. And so I think we're going to get more information about that whole like legal side of it, but ultimately it comes down to inside the NBA, right? To me, this is the greatest sports show on television. It has set the baseline, right? The blueprint for a number of other shows across the spectrum of professional sports, really globally, like even on the soccer side with the CBS soccer show that they run, Kate Abdo and the boys there. Like, to me, this all stems from what EJ and Kenny and Chuck and then later on Shaq built here. And if it is one last ride, I'm tuning in to every show. And if I can't catch it live, it's going to be on my DVR. I cannot miss a second of Inside next season.
Same stock down for me. But what I will say, Zach, is every time that there's a problem or you see a disappointment, there's an opportunity. They are going to be no holds barred this entire year and not going to care. And that is why we've fallen in love with them. Ernie is the perfect straight person, straight man off the other people. He's done a tremendous job. And Charles, Shaq, and Kenny. Kenny sort of straight-laced as well to a certain extent. But Shaq and especially Charles are genuine. They tell you what they think, no holds barred, and that will resonate on TV every single time, not couching his words, telling them when you think somebody stinks, making a definitive pick so we can all run and bet against him every single time. That is what makes it great. It's why Charles Barkley is my favorite player of all time. You may not know that. Loved him when he was with the Sixers, and gosh, they should have sent Jordan to Game 7. Really disappointed. Wide open three, Paxson, please. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah, so obviously we will keep our eye on everything unfolding there with Turner and the NBA, but pouring one out for Inside the NBA. And it's going to be, again, it should be a fun season. I agree with you. You thought they were no holds barred before. Let's see them on their retirement tour. Mike, anything else for you before we get out of here on episode 2 of the FTN Fast Break?
I'll be thrilled here in the Olympics. Give me Canada. Give me SGA with the ball down one in the gold medal game against USA, and I will be a happy person. Going to be a great – because you've seen flashes with the NBA. Devin Booker with the sideways and one falling out of bounds. Curry getting stripped but then coming down and getting back. And I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great. The NBA exploding across the globe pays so many dividends, especially in an Olympics like this. And something that was really an afterthought – after 92, where you're like, well, if they lose, okay, they lose, and then you lose interest. Not true anymore. NBA, global, looking for these players. Get your popcorn ready. Can't wait.
Yeah, cannot wait. And those of you that are FTN Fantasy subscribers looking for DFS content, prop pick'em content, we're going to have that in the Discord throughout the duration of the tournament. Give our editors a little bit of a break because that content, right, could be coming out late in the evenings with the 4 a.m., 6:30 a.m. Central start time. So FTN Fantasy subscribers, make sure you're in that Discord, NBA channel, Pick'em Games channel. Looking forward to things tipping off Saturday morning, 4 a.m. Central. And we appreciate all of you tuning in and sticking with us here on episode 2 of the FTN Fast Break. I am back next week. Mike out of town, so our good buddy Adam Pfeiffer going to join me on episode 3. I cannot wait for that. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week here on the FTN Fast Break. Goodbye.